So Kim is going to come, Kim Calloway, and bring us the word of God today. And Kim, you may unmute yourself. Well, I'll unmute you. Let me see.
We are.
Okay. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. Thank you, Ernestine, and good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Well, I believe. I'm going to bring you the word this morning. We're going to talk about what God has given us. And that prayer, Ernestine, that you just finished, is right along the lines of what I plan to talk about, and it's our authority. He died for that. He died so we can have authority. So we're going to start talking about our authority as Christians. And I was reading, now when we were, most of us, well, those of us who've been to Caris Bible College, we did learn about authority. And Andrew has a really good teaching on authority, the believer's authority. and it was interwoven into our classes also. But it's really interesting to know that a lot of people, Christians, most don't know about the authority that they have. They think that we have no authority. The only people that has authority is the devil and God. But no, we have authority. I mean, it was transferred to us through Jesus' death on the cross. And also I was just looking through another book, Kenneth Hagin. He wrote a book on authority. And he had some really, really insightful stories, funny stories, but really insightful stories that are true about our authority in there. And I want to read one of them to you at somewhere in the message today. But anyway, we're going to talk about authority and our authority. So what actually is authority? And it's actually delegated power. We have delegated power. I mean, delegated power, that's big. That's really big. And it's ours. So authority is power. In Luke 10:19, it says, "I've given you power to tread over all the power of the enemy, noting that nothing by any means shall hurt you." So we're going to go back and forth to that scripture as I go through this lesson. But I found out in the original Greek, several words and statements are used to describe the word power. And authority is one of them. But it was really interesting to see one of the words and statements is the sense of ability. We have that ability. We have to have our mind tuned into, we have a sense of ability. We can you know, do things with that authority. Some other words are a token of control, force, delegated influence, liberty, power, right, strength, mastery, privilege, and the word superhuman was in that too. I'm like, wow, superhuman. I mean, that's straight from the spirit realm. That's us. That's who we are in the spirit. And we can bring it into the physical world too. So it was really interesting to look that up and find that out. So, and the source of our authority, of course, came from Jesus Christ. Through his death, resurrection, and burial. Well, maybe I should say it the right way. His burial, his death, burial, and resurrection. And now he's actually seated on the right hand of Christ. And I found out that when you're seated on the right hand of the king or of God or the Pope, that means that you have authority and you can actually delegate that authority to whoever you want. And it was actually transferred to us. So that was really interesting to find out too. I mean, I'm sure I've heard that before, but just reading over it last night was really interesting to find out. So we have this authority, but we we won't really understand it just in our physical mind. We actually have to receive it by faith, and it has to be spiritual. We have to receive that. We have to receive it through the spirit, because we can understand and hear that in our mind and grasp a hold of what the word is telling us, but it's gotta be a spiritual revelation. We've gotta have it. We gotta realize that spiritually and by faith, and that's what we're called to do, and we can do that. So Paul explains a lot of this, and in his prayer in Ephesians, actually Ephesians 1, 16 through 20, he actually prays that we can get an understanding of what we can have access to, the authority. And let me just read that. I'm not going to read all of it, but you guys can probably look into it too. It's Ephesians 1, 16 through 20. Let's see. Okay, and actually before that, he's actually praying for us, and he's praying that we realize what we have here. So starting with verse 16, it says, cease not, let's go to 15 first. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That's what we are. We're right there. I mean, we have Christ in us by way of the Holy Spirit. So what he has, we have. We're known as the body. We're the church. The church is the body. Christ is the head. Christ is the head of the church. What the head has, the body has. Where the head goes, the body goes. We have this power. We have this authority, this delegated authority. And I mean, in Ephesians, basically chapters 1 through 3, the whole book, I would advise to read it. There's only 6 chapters, I believe, in here. But it's got a lot of information about what we have in Christ, the authority that we have because of his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. Now he's sitting at the right hand, and we have all of that. So these are things that we've studied before, but it's just real good to refresh your mind with this all the time. It's just really good, because in life, we always run up against things that's trying to defeat us. We always have these, things that, that's going to just jump in and ruin your day, or things that try to come against you. And it's mostly from the enemy. 9 times out of 10, it is from the enemy. He doesn't want to see you going smooth. He doesn't want to see you in a good place. He doesn't want to see you communing with God and getting advice from God and following it and going. He's going to throw something in there to try to get you off track. And, we got to take hold of our authority when that happens and get back in step with where we're supposed to be. So, let's see, I don't want to get off track. what happened, what actually happened at the cross? So in Colossians 2:15, it gives us a good explanation. It's having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in his death, spiritual, and resurrection. He defeated the enemy. He defeated the enemy, and he made a show of him when he did that. It's like he showed everybody, look, this is who I've defeated, and he has no more power in your life. All he has is lies and deception, and he'll whisper ideas of defeat and things like that in your ear. But you got to remember, you have the authority over all of that, over him, over all of that. He has no power. And Andrew said that he uses our power against us. When we don't know that we have power, he uses it against us. And we sit and take it if we don't understand the authority that we have. So we have authority, and we will use the authority, right? Right. We will use our authority. I mean, Jesus died for that. He died for us. And it takes care of just about everything across the board. Poverty, health, sickness, insecurities, anything that can come up against mankind, we've got the answer already. We've already got the answer. Now, it takes some renewing of your mind on certain things to get past certain things when it comes to authority. You can't just read this scriptures based on authority on what we have and just go out and especially if you're a baby Christian, or even if you're not a baby Christian and you just found this out, you have to renew your mind to it and keep watering that seed of this word that you just grasped. And it'll come from here down here. Once it's in here, once it's in your heart, it's in you, it's yours. But that takes a lot of, practice, if you will. It takes a lot of using it. It takes a lot of, every time something comes up against you, you need to first think about that. You need to first think about these scriptures. You can take the scripture that Paul prayed, this prayer that Paul prayed, and make it personal, where it says you put your name in there. You know, I do that a lot with a scripture in Matthew. I'll read that to you later on. But put your name in there and go over it and over it till when you come up against something, you call on that scripture and you say, hey, I got this. Jesus died for me to have this, and I'm going to use it. That's our privilege. You know, he died so that we can reign as kings and queens in this world. And we need to take advantage of that, because Satan is taking advantage of what he can, you know, and we've triumphed over him. So we need to know what we have. Let's see, I got a scripture here that's John 14:12 says, if we believe in him, the works that he did, we'll also do. I mean, Jesus did a lot of wonderful works. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He fed hundreds, thousands at a time. We can do that and greater works, you know. But we want to, I guess, focus on what he did first and then graduate up to things beyond what he did. But it's over and over in scriptures, especially in Ephesians and in Colossians and in the other passages throughout the Bible, telling us about what we have, what we can do, and who we are in Christ. And the more we grab a hold of that and the more we stick with that and keep it in our brain and pull it from here, get it in here first, pull it back to your brain when you come up against something. The more we do that, the easier it'll be to do. I mean, there's always going to be something coming against us because the enemy doesn't want us to triumph. He doesn't, but he's too late. We already got the power. In the beginning, God gave Adam charge over the world. And then he sold out to Satan. And so after that, Satan ended up being the god of this world, but Christ came. When Christ came, then we got born into into the body of Christ. So now we have charge over him. But if you don't know that, it's gonna be just like, Christ never came. he never died for our sins. You got to know it, and you got to believe it, and you got to receive it. You got to. I mean, that's the only way around it. Let's see, the body of Christ. We were seeing here. Let's see. Let's look at Colossians 12:13. Let's see. Did I read that? It sounds familiar. I think I did. Let me look. Let's look at Colossians 12:13. Colossians 1:12-13. Let's see. I didn't want to write the whole scripture out because I said I'm going to have the Bible, but I should have put the reason I wrote it out. And it's good, I'm sure. If I can find Colossians, I know I can. My husband ought to be here helping me. Yeah. I got it. All right, Colossians 1:12-13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That happened on the cross, after the cross, after the resurrection. That's what we have. We're delivered from the darkness. We are into the light now. I mean, we have exactly what Christ has. And there's, like I said, there's scriptures all through the Bible that remind us of what we have in Christ. So let's not forget that. Also in Romans 5, 19. That talks about, you know, Adam and Christ. It says, far as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. Righteous, that's Christ. Adam gave it away to the enemy, but Jesus came. And that's our ticket back to God through his death, burial, and resurrection. All of that was already done after he rose from the dead. We have authority. We have the power. We are actually sitting at the right hand also. We got to keep that in our mind, because what Jesus has, we have too. And we can just rule and reign in this earth like kings and queens, just like God intended us to do. But again, you know, you it's not just knowing this. We have to practice it. And Lord knows we get a chance to practice it almost daily. You always get something that comes up against you that's going to have you to call on your authority and you just get that thing out of the way. It's got to go back from wherever it came. But you can't stay here. It's got to go back. We got all kinds of scriptures that we can use to tell us, to just assure us and to get this thing out of our way. We need to just use it and stand on it. Let's see, 1 Corinthians verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12 to 14, and then 27. I got to read this. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. Let's see. Let's look at that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There it is. And we're going to start with verse 12 through 14. So verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Basically, we're the members of the body. We some of us are the arms, some of us are the legs, some of us are the feet, but we only have one head, right? And that's Christ. So Christ is the head, and we are the rest of the body. We're the church, which is the rest of the body, and they are all joined together. we have our head there, but we can have two people. We can have two arms, right? We got two arms. We got two legs and you know, the other body parts. Those are the members of the head. So where did I leave off? Let's start at 13. I left off at 12. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm the hand, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, he have no need of thee, nor can the hand to the feet, I have no need of thee. So, I mean, we all of our body parts, we need one another to function. We need one another to do things in this earth that Christ would have us do. So we all have to, you know, we have to be a team, in other words. And I wanted to get to 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So we're all one together. Christ is the head. And because we are one body with Christ as the head, we have the authority that the head has. I mean, we that's just who we are. We have the authority, and we can call those things that be not as though they are. That's part of your weapon, really, you know, calling those things that be not. You use your scriptures to that, those are your weapons. You use your scriptures as your weapon. And, you know, we're just blessed to have Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, which in that reality, especially spirituality, that's where we are too. So it just takes a lot of reminding ourselves of who we are. And sometimes I think it can get, we can get forgetful of that. I think most people, I don't think most of us forget it as much as we used to, because we're in the Word. I don't want to say more than people who are not Christians, but that's probably true. But, you know, you got so many things bombarding you every day out here in this natural world. And if you're not a person who knows scripture or believes that you have weapons to fight these things with, I mean, they're going to take you over. Because there's enough distractions out there in the world to do that. And I do believe that most distractions are to keep you from knowing who you are in Christ. And it comes from this. You know, the enemy has got all kinds of arrows that he's shooting at us. It's just to get us off path. It's to just distract us. I mean, things that are really real. I mean, we have authority out of them. We can get ourselves out of them, you know. Some things may be harder than others, but, you know, God wouldn't tell us this if we weren't able to do it. So, I mean, we're able to triumph over many things in this world, many things. And even if you fall short of triumphing over them, it'll just be a lesson to you to just dig deeper and pull out your weapons, your warfare weapons quicker, I guess, or just keep them in the forefront of your brain. But you know, we're not defeated. We've already won. We're not defeated, you know, and that's the best thing about it. We are the winners here. We're the winners. It's us, and then it's the enemy, and we've already won. Let's see. Authority. It's a shame if you don't know about it. And I'll tell you what, I've come, when I was coming up in church, we didn't know anything about authority. I mean, we would just sit there and take it. Anything that happened to us, we just took it because we didn't know we could do anything about it. That was a shame. It really was. I mean, because I know plenty of good men and women that were in our church, went on to glory, that could probably still be here had they known about authority. You know, they're waiting on God to do this and do that for them, where they had the authority to do it themselves and didn't know it. Boy, it's something when you don't know it. I heard a story about, I probably read this somewhere, about a guy who was, he was really like a beggar. He really was starving. He had no money, no place to live. He lived under a bridge, and you know, he distanced himself from his family years ago. He had an uncle who died and left him millions of dollars, and his uncle had been dead over 7 years, and they couldn't find him. So this man had money, but didn't know he had it, and he was just suffering. They finally found him and told him about the money, and he had had it over 7 years. I think it was about 7 years he'd had it. But that's the same situation. If you've got something, like we have this power, we have answers to questions that we thought we didn't have answers to all that time. And when you don't know about it, you suffer, you lack, and you do without. You know, and that's just a sad, sad thing to realize, you know. And we're living so far beneath our privileges to, I mean, it's just heartbreaking if you really think about it. You know, a lot of people just leave this world without realizing the privileges and authority that they have. You know, I have to read this also, strong in the Lord. Let's go back to Ephesians. A lot of this is explained in Ephesians, and I like this book. I'm gonna be reading this more. And I remember reading it when I was in college. I remember reading, that was Philippians. And I was standing on my authority then, not realizing it. I had a class, and it was some kind of computer class. But anyway, I was like, oh Lord, I don't know how I'm gonna get through this class, you know? So I found Philippians 4:19, I think it was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's 4:19 or 4:13, but anyway, I stood on that scripture from the second day of class to the day that semester was over. And I passed that class. I didn't pass it with an A, but I got out of that class with a B. And I was surprised because I knew nothing about software, computers, and things like that. But I was standing on that, and I didn't ask God to help me get through that class. I just took that scripture and declared, hey, I'm getting through this class because I believe this word. But I was using my authority and didn't realize it. that's how it worked. I mean, I repeatedly every day with that scripture. But let's look at Ephesians 6, 10 and 11. I'll tell you what, it does help to be organized. I need to stand on the scripture to get organized here. All right, 6:10 and 11, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor of God. And that's all the truths that's in the scripture. That's what we have. And that's armor. We got to keep it on, especially when we get out of our house. I mean, it's good while we're in the house and we don't have anybody around us, but once you step out that door and get in that car and start driving, somebody's gonna be, it's gonna be something to come to you to be able to use your armor. And a lot of, you know, the armor, it starts here, let's see. It says, where's the beginning of the armor at here? We've got a lot of it. Let's see, I'm just skipping over here, number 12, I'm saying scripture, passage 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's who we're actually fighting against. Even now, it's going to come in the form of friends, neighbors, co-workers, but it's really Satan working through them. That's all it is. And it says, number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I mean, when you stand, just keep standing. Just stand, you know, with your armor. 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, which is the word, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, number 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, this is verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's praying in tongues. I do that a lot. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I mean, there it is right there in one's good section here. But it's all through the Bible what we could do to stand against the enemy. And he's out there. He's not going anywhere because he's going down and he wants to take God's children with him. That's just how nasty and mean he is. But we've already won. We need to know that and stand on it and use it. Those are our weapons of warfare. Philippians, I just turned over here in Philippians. I mean, this Bible, I tell you, it will strengthen you and it will prepare you for the world outside because they're waiting on us. They don't like us because most of them who are close to the enemy, they know we've already won. They're just banking on us not knowing that. You know, Satan's got his little demons out there trying to do things to us, and they know what the deal is, but we know too now. We know we got weapons to fight with. We got power, we got authority, and we're going to stand on it. I want to read you a little story out of Kenneth Hagin's book about authority. And a lot of you guys have probably read his book anyway, too. But this is it's a real thin, it's an easy read, you know, and I just kind of read through it a little bit last night while I was getting my message together. But I'm going to start here. It says, and that's not a lot to read, so I won't be reading long, but I just wanted to tell you this story here. The demon Jesus refused to deal with. Now, this is just showing you that Jesus has already dealt with this. He's given us authority to deal with these things. So this is a demon that Jesus refused to deal with. It says here, in 1952, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me in a vision and talked to me for about an hour and a half about the devil, demons, and demon possession. At the end of that vision, an evil spirit that looked like a little monkey or an elf ran between Jesus and me and started something and spread something like a smoke screen or a dark cloud. Then this demon began jumping up and down, crying in a shrill voice, yakety, 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 yak. I can't see Jesus or understand what he's saying. You know, so he was getting frustrated. Kenneth Hagin was getting frustrated. This demon standing between him and Jesus, and Jesus is telling him some important things. So he said, throughout the entire experience, Jesus was watching me, was teaching me something. And if you be attentive, you'll find the answer here to many things that have troubled you. I couldn't understand why Jesus allowed the demon to make such a racket. I was wondering why Jesus just didn't rebuke the demon so I could hear what he was trying to say to me. I waited a few minutes, but Jesus didn't take any action against the demon. Jesus was still talking, but I couldn't understand a word he was saying. And I needed to, because he was giving me instructions concerning the demon, the devil demon, and how to exercise authority. I thought to myself, doesn't the Lord know I'm trying to hear him? I'm not hearing what he wants me to hear. I need to hear that. I'm missing it. I almost panicked, Kenneth Hagin said. I became so desperate, I cried out, in the name of Jesus, you foul spirit, I command you to stop. The minute I said that, the little demon hit the floor like a sack of salt, and the black cloud disappeared. The demon lay there trembling, whimpering, and whining like a whipped pup. He wouldn't look at me, not only shut up, but get out of here in the name of Jesus. I commanded, he ran off. The Lord knew exactly what was in my mind and what I was thinking. Why didn't you do something about that? Why did he permit it? Jesus looked at me and said, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have. That came a real shock to me and astounded me. I replied, Lord, I don't know. I didn't hear you right. You said you wouldn't. Didn't you? He replied, no, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have. In other words, he had already given him authority to do that. And once he gives you authority, Jesus is not going to go back on his word. I mean, Jesus is God. Once he says something, it's done. That's it. He's not going to change it around or anything. So he was not going to tell that demon to get out. Jesus was not going to tell the demon to get out of the way, because on the cross, he had passed authority to us to get rid of things like that, demons, aggravations, problems. And that was a lesson that Kenneth Hagin learned. And it was a real good illustration of what we have in Christ. We can't ask God to do things like that. He's already given us authority to do it, to take care of it. You know, we take care of, we got the word of God to use scriptures. We use scriptures as our weapons to take care of things. You know, pray scriptures back. I am the healed of the Lord. Get out of here. Get out of my body. Leave me alone. I am above and not beneath. If somebody's making you feel inferior, I'm above you. Oh, well, not of that person in particular, but you know, God has made you a queen or a king. I'm above this. I have no business feeling inferior. This is what the word said, and I believe the word. That's truth. So those are our weapons. You know, I'm the apple of his eye. You know, it's all through the Bible of who we are in Christ. Take those words, those truths, and use them as weapons. Use them as weapons and keep using them as weapons, and you won't fail. You know, and they say that the enemy will come back at an opportune time. Well, he comes back less and less the more you use this. Because he can't stand the word of Jesus. He can't stand it. He's the opposite of truth, and they clash. He don't like that. So that's my message for today. And I just want us to understand and remember, because again, once we get out there in the real world, it just seems like the world is right in our face. I mean, constantly we're up against something right in our face all the time. We gotta keep Jesus, the ideas that he has for us right in our head. We got to keep our truths of who we are in our head. So when we come up against these things, we can shoot them right back at the enemy. No, no, you take this. This is the truth. Well, you know, your car is going to break down. No, you take this. I can do all things through Christ who heals me, who strengthens me, you know. And any other scripture, God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's what's going to happen with this car. I'm going to get a new one. Or anything. Just use the word of God and triumph over the lie that the enemy is trying to give to us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kim. Amen. Amen. Let me stop the recording.